Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Banter Pub FC, the sauciest team in the game, spiciest takes on the pitch, Chimney FC. In the pub today, we have El Capitan Neil. Joseph is indefatigable self, and of course, your favorite host, Ama. Today we're going to talk about the leagues, done, who's going down deservedly, and who is getting promoted. It's not done and dusted all through the top leagues in Europe, but most of the picture is settled. So we're gonna talk quickly around the pitch about those happenings, and then leave you without too much fanfare. This episode kind of speaks to the beginning of summer, and it's always exciting. We also have a couple, you know, major European tournaments wrapping up or almost there, and so we'll discuss that as well. Let's get right into it. We'll start in the Premier League. Fortunately, we do not have a full house, right? The Banter Pub is not fully occupied, and therefore we don't have, thankfully, we don't have Jonathan to ruin the vibe with his prancing and gallivanting.
Hey, listen, man's gonna be upset with you for saying that you're the favorite host. You just took man's title.
So be it. He gets to win the Prem, so he can shut up and deal. Yeah. So, Man City, top of the Premier League. No big surprise there. The most exciting championship Sunday event was the relegation battle, though, because we had so many teams in the running. And, you know, last episode, we gave you our predictions. Now we get to find out who ended up going down. And, you know, I'll go to Joseph first, right? who deserved to go down? Like, did you feel justified in your picks from last episode? Do you feel like reality met up with your fantasy?
I did say that Everton were going down, didn't I? If I remember rightly,
I think so.
And they pulled it out at the last. The Decore absolute slammer of a goal. What an absolute hit that was! And they deservedly, on the day at least, deserve to stay up. I was also wrong about Chelsea getting relegated. If you're talking about who deserves to get relegated, Chelsea definitely deserved to get relegated. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was looking kind of peak for a little bit. But in all fairness, I think it is the teams that got relegated are, you know, that is the only real objective record that matters. And I don't think any of the teams can say that got relegated can say that they were hard done by, that they were unlucky or anything like that. They were just... I'm going to quote you from a previous episode from back in the day. None of these sides that got relegated are cursed. They're just bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were just bad. So get out. You know what I'm saying? Come back next year if you're feeling it. But these relegation candidates in Leeds United, Leicester City, and Southampton, they deserve to go down. Nottingham Forest, I did say, would stay up. So I was right about that. And I think that's the only one that I was right about, to tell you the truth. Leeds, I didn't think I picked Leeds.
I think you did.
I think I cheated and asked that more than three teams could go down, right? So I could get all...
The question that I posed during our final day watch along was, if you were the administrator of the Premier League. Pure dictatorship business. What you say goes. You know what I'm saying? And you and the relegation was not decided based off of points, but rather vibes. Like, what three teams would you send down? I think all of us said Leeds. We did.
100%.
And I said that that would be the one, you know, on form that I would, you know, that I would say on the form, I would say that they'd absolutely need to get out. And the other two clubs that I said that would be relegated were Chelsea and Spurs. Spurs, because not only that, not only would I relegate Spurs, but I would decree that they would be barred from promotion to the Premier League for 50 years. And it takes effect after I die. So not only can they not get promoted while I'm alive, but 50 years after I pass, their man could never, ever get promoted. Like, I would have that enshrined in law, and their man could never overturn it unless they got some crooked MP in there to take it. You know what I'm saying? But that is not how it actually works. It is points and league table positions that decide who gets relegated. So, au revoir, Southampton. It was fun while it lasted. Leicester, I cannot remember the last side in English football history to win a championship in the last 5, possibly 10 years. 10 years. No, 5. It's got to be 5. 5 or 6. And then get relegated thereafter. You know what I'm saying? Yuri Tielemans said that he's leaving on a Bosman. So that means no transfer fees will be involved. It's just straight contract business. I know there'll be a lot of people in for him. I hope Arsenal are one of them, especially if we look like we're going to be losing the race to sign Declan Rice, especially for all the MPs that West Ham are asking for, plus the English tax on top of that, which it's not a real thing. It's just a figurative thing. But listen, these homegrown player quotas, they need to be filled. So English players are coming at a premium for that. Hopefully that goes down in future years. But honestly, with the way
that... On that point, I'll just say this. All this talk about James Maddison, Mason Mount, and Declan Rice, respectively, they're all terrible as midfielders. They're like, they're not... I take it back. They're mid. They're not terrible.
Mid is definitely... They put the mid in midfield, at least. And like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, James Ward-Prowse is better than all three of them combined. And the fact that he is going to be less from a quota standpoint than the three of them, and the only reason is because Mason Mount plays for Chelsea, Declan Rice plays for what, you know, is the best player at West Ham, and who was the third that I mentioned? James Maddison.
Who Arsenal were linked with at the beginning of this season, but we decided against that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He's not worth the money.
And I'm glad we did. The premium for somebody like James Maddison is just like, not worth it.
Would you give James Maddison minutes that Emile Smith Rowe should be getting? No. Like, who does he displace in the squad? Like, nobody. Because he can't even do the Elneny job. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, I'm sorry. I don't see where he fits. Even in a rotation, unless he was like super cheap, and even then, right, I'd rather take a punt on bringing one of the younger lads up to get proper grown man minutes rather than James Maddison. Unless he was like, but free, like, I don't understand. I don't right. see how we make a deal.
I'll just say this. I know we want to talk about the relegation and promotion. Just to wrap up on the relegation, I knew Leeds were going down at the beginning of the season. I said that at the beginning of the season that they were going down, and I was right. So
you were.
So they are back where they belong in the championship, they are joined by one-time Premier League winning Leicester City and woeful Southampton. Do I think of those three clubs? Do I believe that Leeds could have the potential to come back up? Yes. Do I think they need a complete overhaul to do so? Also, yes, because they are going to be losing. Like, again, people are going to be pilfering all three of those clubs of their best players for free or for cheaper prices as soon as they go down. And Leeds has several players that are not just Prem quality, but top Europe quality. So, or like European League, as does Leicester and as does Southampton. Now Southampton probably has the least of the three clubs in terms of like quality players that are worth staying up. But you know, Leicester has several players that are going to go on a free. Tillman's is, but you know, I digress. Let's. I think we should talk about the, you know, because the promotion was more exciting. The promoted clubs was more exciting than the relegated clubs, because some of those we knew were going to happen. Like Southampton was relegated like 2.5 weeks before the season ended. So
yeah,
you know, I think we can talk about the rest.
Speaking of the promotion journey from the Champions League, Burnley secured promotion early, led by none other than, this is a remarkable story. I feel like we need to give this man his flowers. Vincent Kompany took a team and a town known for anti-blackness, reformed them in the championship, and led them to a championship and promotion into the Prem. It's like, the interesting thing is that the team Burnley doesn't look like Burnley, and they don't play like Burnley, and so that's been really good. If you watch them at all during the season, you'd see like they actually like it. It's a different team, and I hope that, you know, they continue to play bravely in the Premier League. So, but that was done and dusted early. Second was Sheffield United, and the last promotion place required a playoff between Luton Town and Coventry. And Luton Town, and you know, Luton Town is back, and it's actually pretty incredible. It's an incredible story. The next season should be quite interesting, and like I'm very curious to see what moves can be made. Like, I want to say that the amount required to pay for upgrades to the stadium for Premier League status is triple their current wage bill.
Wow.
Oh my God. Okay, so let me quickly just hone in on, we're talking about stories. I think this definitely deserves a mention. Luton Town's Pelly Ruddock Mpanzu, a Congolese player. He is the first person, or sorry, the first man, actually, to go from non-league to Premier League with one club, Luton Town. Unreal achievement. That is an outstanding achievement. That is quite literally a historical achievement.
That's like shout out to that story, man, right? Proper there. Football story.
That is talk. You talk about starting from the bottom and now we're here. The definition of that now is Pelly Ruddock. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to that boy right there. That was an absolutely outstanding performance. Also in the final as well, to go along with that. It was a dramatic final. I knew it was going to go down to the wire. I knew that these clubs were going to fight like the world was ending tomorrow, or at least at the full-time whistle. And they absolutely did. They did the league justice. That was a really good advertisement for the championship yet again. The playoff finals usually are, but this one was special because Luton Town were relegated the season before it became the Premier League. So not only have they reached the first division for the first time since 1992, but they are now officially, for the first time in the club's history, a Premier League club. So Shout out to Luton Town. You know, I used to live in Luton. I've lived there twice. And while I will maintain that Luton is, it's not that city. You know what I'm saying? What I will say is that they love their football club. They love the Hatters. And I know that they were partying like it was going out of fashion when it was all done and dusted. So congratulations to Luton Town. Commiserations to Coventry. Their problems are only looking to deepen. I don't know what's going on with their stadium deal. The contract expired at the end of last month. So that was yesterday. But I haven't heard any news, or seen any news, rather, about whether or not they're going to be staying at the Rico, or whether or not they're going to be shacking up with Northampton Town again. Or one of them clubs. Yeah. You know what I mean? They have been through the wars. I really hope that Coventry do not hang their heads. I hope Coventry City supporters don't hang their heads either. If you can get back at it another season, you can get back in the Premier League. Coventry used to be a Premier League club as well. We discussed this in previous episodes, but I do hope that Coventry go back at it again, and I hope they do the thing next season. So, all things considered, I still think that Sheffield United are going back down next season. I just do not see it for them Brexiteer football business, you know what I'm saying? And I just don't see it. So Burnley, congratulations to them as well. Once again, I will say, ask your doctor what melanin can do for you. That's all I have to say. You know what I'm saying? That's it. You know, that White Lives Matter FC business, I don't know what you man were doing, but you Vincent Kompany absolutely got you man together, because you were not playing that Sean Dyche football. Because if you were, well,
you'd still be in the championship.
You wouldn't be winning no titles. Let's go ahead and keep that a bean. But yeah, that is my take on the English promotion into the Premier League race.
So, Neil, I was thinking about Luton and Congolese player making history. How, you know, in celebration, how many pair of purple pants and green gaiters you think this man just bought?
Tons, for sure. For sure. I know he's definitely going to get a call up to, because he's on the DR, he's on there. He's on their first team, isn't he?
I don't know. I have no idea.
He is.
I have no idea.
He is. Okay. So AFCON is around the corner. So he's going to get plenty of playing time. You know. So like, you know, I'm very happy for the young man. Very, very excited for what Luton is going to. I want Luton to stay up in the Prem. Just like I'm glad Wolves are still there. Just like I'm glad Nottingham Forest are still there. Just like I'm glad Brighton, who are in a European place, are still up. Like, I really like when we have these clubs that people just kind of throw away and toss aside, and just like, well, if they're not the big six, then it doesn't matter. Well, a lot of these clubs are here to stay, and you're just going to have to deal. And I want the same for Luton. I do not want them to go get promoted just to go back down again. I don't want them to be like a Norwich or a Southampton or a Sheffield United. Like we know Sheffield United is not going to stay up. Like, we know that. But I want a Vincent Kompany led Burnley to stay up. Like that's fucking excited. If I would trade next season a Everton and who else? Probably Bournemouth. Let's just go with Bournemouth for Luton Town and Burnley to stay up. And it feels weird to say that considering Burnley's racist history. But with Vincent Kompany managing them, like you said, like they have kind of turned their image around and are playing like an actual fucking football club and not a racist one. Because Vincent Kompany would not be managing them if they were still a racist football club. So, that said, I am excited for this upcoming season, excited for Luton. Before Nottingham Forest spent all that money, I was excited for Forest, and then they went ahead and spent all that fucking money. And half of those players are probably going to be gone this summer. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, hey, Luton needs, you know, Luton has money to spend. You know, hey, Nottingham Forest, you know, let's do like a trade here. Let's like bolster Luton's coffers a little bit and give them some of your, and give them some of those players that you signed for a season, so like we can get some parity in the league a little bit.
Yeah. Man, listen, Nottingham Forest went a little dumb with the money. You know what I'm saying? Not in the summer window, but also in the January window too. They signed enough players to field at least three football teams. You know what I'm saying? Like three first 11s. It's absolutely. I don't even know how this doesn't violate financial fair play, but I'm not going to start speculating on that. But I do agree with you, Cap. I think what it's got to come down to is who's available for these clubs that got promoted, for them to bring in some new blood. Will they? Is the other thing as well. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't want to add too many, you know, cooks in the kitchen. You just need to get rid of the deadwood and improve on what it is that the deadwood did not bring. So I agree, though. I don't want Luton, and I'm surprised as anybody else when I say this, I don't want Burnley either to go down either. I think as long as Vincent Kompany is there, I want that project to work for him. Not just because there is a severe lack of black managers in the league already, but
because also, there is. Let's just be real. There is.
You know, not just because of that, you know what I'm saying? But also just for the simple fact that I think the story of him beating his former club in Manchester City is severely appetizing. Like, I want to see that happen. You know what I mean? But then again, we have to wait to see what happens with City and their charges, because it's very likely that points deductions are on the way for the Premier League champions. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But honestly, I do want Luton and Burnley to stay up. So I'm going to agree with you wholeheartedly on that one.
All right. Before we leave the shores of England, let's give a quick shout out to Darren Moore bringing Shuffle Wednesday into the championship. Salute another black manager getting that thing done. All right, let's slide over to Germany, where Bayern snatched the Bundesliga from the jaws of Dortmund. It's just insane how Dortmund fumbled the bag and let that happen. They were in pole position to win and folded. It's just unfortunate. Well, unfortunate for those of us who do not root for Bayern. The two teams that got automatically relegated on the opposite end of the table. Schalke and Hertha Berlin. Schalke, who mustered 7 wins out of 34 games.
There are three certainties in this life, Arma: death, taxes, and El Capitan bringing in the Schadenfreude for Schalke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to get your commiseration somehow, because they did snatch defeat from the jaws of victory on the final day of the season. Yeah. So.
So Schalke and Hertha Berlin are going down. The way it works in Germany is the third from the bottom gets to play in a playoff with the third place team from Bundesliga 2. And so we've got a matchup between Stuttgart and Hamburg. Right, Hamburg is a third place team in Bundesliga 2, and that's ongoing. Right, it's a two-legged playoff. First leg is over. Stuttgart is up 3-0 on Hamburg, so Stuttgart may stay up if they do what they need to do on the return leg. The other two promoted teams are Heidenheim and Darmstadt. Don't know these teams, don't care. I'm more excited about Schalke going down than I am about these promoted teams. We'll see what they bring to the table, and see if they can add spice to me, the spiciest league we had this season in Europe.
Yes. Yes.
In the Bundesliga.
Without shadow of a doubt, the Bundesliga was the most entertaining. It was the most competitive, and it was the tightest league out of all of Europe's domestic leagues. I dare say that they were one of the most exciting in the world last season. They really did the business. You know what I'm saying? It was looking like all of 8 teams could have won the title at one stage in the season. I think when we were going over the table, we were just absolutely blown away with how close things were and how equally matched all these teams are. You know what I mean? But I don't want to be rude to Bayern Munich, but at the same time, no one cares that you won another Bundesliga title, bruv. Like, let's just get this one straight out the way. No one gives a goddamn.
In fact, everybody's rooting for you to lose. Okay, you've done it 10 years in a row, 11. Like, come on, bro. Okay. It's time to step it up.
So
right?
Sick of you. It's so sick.
You know, you need to, like, why are you not in the in the UEFA Champions League final? Where are you? How do you make the next step? Because I feel like that is the challenge, right? Anyway, I don't want to divert too much from the Bundesliga, but I just feel like Bayern, in spite of making signings, doing the thing they got to do, grabbing everybody's captains and their best players, just like crapping on the league, it was tight. It was tight. And for a time, they did not control their destiny. And so I feel like that's a shot across the bow. And in fact, we saw the repercussions of that with legends essentially getting laid off on the last day of the season in the front office. Like, Oliver Kahn is out.
So. Yeah, well, Oliver Kahn might be a Bayern Munich legend, but that doesn't count for shit when... when you're employed and you're in,
they
that
said
position.
They so, said yeah. You had us crapping our pants and we have every advantage, out of here. And so my hope is that Thomas Tuchel will be a little bit unsettled there as well, because I just don't like him. So, you know, wish bad things on Bayern, their coach, the record label, the crew. All of that. Come to death row. El Capitan, any final words on any final words on the drama in the Bundesliga? Do you have any excuses for the abject performance?
No, none. None at all.
Good.
None at all. I wouldn't come into this situation with excuses considering how bad Dortmund played. But, you know, at least hindsight being 2020, you know, Schalke is going back down to the Bundesliga 2.
Jude was injured. Jude couldn't play. Like, there were a couple of factors, but there was still enough. There's still enough because you're playing Mainz.
Jude had the same injury that Erling Haaland had for half the season before he left for City.
Damn. It's so, called I'm getting the F out of here. Itis.
Exactly.
It's called pay me, itis.
Yeah. So.
All right.
I'm not really, but I'll just say, yeah. Schalke again, just like Leeds in the Prem. Just like Leeds.
Yeah.
Enjoy Bundesliga 2.
See
you again.
This is evil. Always consistent. I'll say one thing. For the number of years we've been doing this thing, Neil has been 100% consistent in wishing nothing but ill will on ill omens on the team called Schalke. All right, let's slide over to Italy, the home of Racismo, and honestly, it's just really the home of Racismo. Serie A winners, Napoli. You know, the Neapolitans out there in blackface lauding their ace of a striker, Victor Osimhen, swashbuckling with Confederate flags in celebration. Yeah, Napoli won. We knew that. They locked it down. And this was probably the biggest slam dunk in all of Europe. And good grief. Did they do the thing? So great story there. On the flip side, the bottom of the table, where we used to see a Venezia a year ago, we now have in the relegation places Sampdoria, Cremonese, and Hellas Verona.
And I said it at the beginning of the season. Diego Simeone's son transferring from Hellas Verona to Napoli was going to sink them.
Yes.
And what the fuck happened?
They're out of here.
Dumb bums are. They are sunk.
They're out of here. Out of here. And you know, and I'm, you know, not mad at any of these results, any of these teams going down. I don't have any soft spot for them. Being promoted from Serie B or Bay, Frosinone and Genoa are through, but they have this crazy long playoff for the final promotion spot, and in the running are Cagliari, Parma, Bari, and Sud Tirol. I don't know the last two teams. I don't care, and I hope they don't make it. I'll just on the strength of that, to be honest.
Wow, that's cold blooded.
Yeah, Jesus, sorry. Today is a wrong day. Bleeding Heart Ama is somewhere else.
I will say this, though. I don't want Cagliari to come up only to waste everybody's time and go back down again.
Going back down. Parma at least will give you clothes. They'll give you jerseys.
You know what I'm saying?
Cagliari
will give
you racism. But then everybody does, right? I remember the first time I ever heard of Cagliari. It was when... what's his face? When Mario Balotelli was racially abused by their supporters.
Yep.
That was the first time I ever heard of that.
I remember that too.
And that's probably, what, 12 years ago?
Uh-huh.
Something insane like that.
Give or take.
Yeah, I mean, it's a decade ago, right? Whatever. So, you know, there's just not a lot for me to love in this league, to be frank. Just, you know, wishing peace to the black players. Maybe this summer, this off season, will lead to less racist abuse.
I doubt it. And if it doesn't happen in Italy, it will happen in Spain, which we will get to in a minute. But what I will say is this. I know our listeners know that we are not about the Racismo. So I'm pretty sure that they were all confused as to why there were so many Napoli supporters with Confederate flags during their celebration and why they fly them at games. So I looked into it because I thought it was pretty random to see that, you know, iconography of a traitorous, defeated, defunct faction known as the Confederacy. And I looked into it. The reason why they adopted and co-opted the Confederate flag was because before the Kingdom of Italy absorbed southern Italian states, I think in the 1800s, they were very adamantly, like, you know, the Sicilies and all that sort of stuff, they were very adamantly not into the idea of being absorbed or unified with the rest of Italy. They wanted to stay separate. Well, they obviously lost that battle, I don't think there was an actual war fought over it, but they definitely lost the political battle, and they were absorbed into the Kingdom of Italy in the 1800s. I think the late 1800s. We're talking Reconstruction era in the United States. So at that time, it wouldn't be until all these years later that that sentiment is still very popular amongst Southern Italians. So they took to the Confederate flag to show that they are Southern Italian, but they still do not see it for unified Italy. And that is the reason why Napoli supporters, who are very deeply proud to be from Napoli and to be, you know, Napolese, I guess is how you would pronounce that. They have co-opted the Confederate flag for that reason. Now, I need to make it very, very clear. I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to research that and look into that and all that sort of stuff. That is whatever. But the Confederate flag is still a racist piece of iconography. It will always be a racist piece of iconography. And I don't care which one of you motherfuckers are flying it. If I see you with it, I don't trust you.
So,
at all.
I'll be frank. While you were giving me that whole historical explanation, I was just like, Charlie Brown adult. I don't care, blood. I don't care one iota. Why? There is no space, no place where you should be flying the Confederate flag. I don't care. Like, that's insane to me. In 2023, like, that's absolutely wild. Victor Osimhen is your star striker, and you pulling up one of the most prominent symbols of racism in the world. Get out of here. I don't care how ugly and discriminatory the Northern Italians were. That is mad. It's absurd. Put on a Klan jersey. Like, that's insane. Like, why would you, like, would you wear a Ku Klux Klan robe because the South will ride again? Like,
don't give them the chance. Because you know they will take
up
it.
In here, they boy. Will do it. Like, get out. They will do it. They will do it. And they will insist that it is not racist.
Which is, as with everything else that goes on. Yeah, so, anyway, thank you for the historical perspective. They can still kiss my ass. Capitan.
No, I agree with you. Like, you know, I agree with you. I just feel like now that I have that context, it still behooves me to say, get the fuck out of here with that nonsense.
100%. El Capitan, any further thoughts about the league ending in Italy? I know, you know, do you have some plaudits to share for your team, at least?
I mean, we are, you know, we won two cups.
Back to back.
Right now. So, you know, we are going into we're going into the Champions League with silverware in our back. Yes. So a city is going into the Champions League with silver in their back pocket, but Inter is going into the Champions League with history and two actual trophies into the Champions League this year. So we'll see what happens come a few weeks from now. But
I think also, Cap, if we're talking about Inter, we also have to shout out Megan Thee Stallion for obviously being Romelu Lukaku's inspiration.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Can't.
In more ways than one. In more ways than one. Saria Party or whatever her ex-boyfriend's name is. But, yeah. Big Rom is going to come in chanting all kinds of Megan raps. He going to be singing he going to be having a WAP playing on his his AirPods because he was wearing it like earmuffs before the match.
Oh wow, okay. Oh my.
Listen, the way that I need our listeners to understand that both Arma and I clutched pearls, bro. You need to understand that Cap has no chill whatsoever. Man is chill deficient, okay? And this is further evidence.
Yes,
indeed. Yeah, it's one thing. Indeed. One thing I always shout out about Ramu Wakaku is, like, you know, he knows. The thing I learned, I don't know, I think maybe when he went to Manchester United from Everton, that he spoke so many languages. I think at the time it was maybe 4. I think now it's up to like 6. Like, the dude is, he's incredible with the, you know, his tongue game is elite. So Cap might be.
I mean, hey, right. Listen, if you gotta,
this might be the next episode that we're going into right now.
If you gotta spell Megan's name in multiple language while she's sitting on your face, big wow, I respect.
And there it is. And there the fuck it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is exactly what I'm talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna have to slide off of Italy. And head to La Liga, the home Jesus. Of even more racismo.
Even more racismo.
with extra rolling R's.
Now with 125% more racismo. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that the league is over. Congratulations to Xavi and Barcelona.
Big win.
You still need to announce your co-signer, though. So, I mean, I'm not going to get too excited for what it is you got cooking next season. Just make sure that the players are paid and the staff as well, please. At least, please tell me you have enough money in the coffers for that much. Jesus fucking Christ. But apart from all that, it would behoove me to mention the clubs that have been relegated from La Liga, who are definitely going and not coming back. But this relegation battle is very exciting. They are, repeat, 2 points separating 5 clubs in this league. Celta Vigo are on 40 points. Valladolid, they are in 18th on 39 points. Almeria is 16th on 40 points. Valencia is 15th on 41 points. Now, hold on. Got to clear my throat.
It's coming.
Yeah, you know, you got to work it up. You know what I'm saying? It's good. If there's not an extra phlegm in there, then you didn't say it correctly. I mean, so I'm told. Getafe are 14th on 41 points. And I'll let Arma do the last club because the way that he says this name is really fucking funny.
I'm your mute friend.
Yeah, so I think the proper pronunciation is Cadiz. There's an accent on the A and the stress you got to get just right. So you got to like really stretch your jaw, get it all out there. They're 13th also on 41 points. So it's really an insane battle.
This is a it's real tight, you know what I'm saying? It's real tight out here. It's very much claustrophobic hours down there at the bottom half of the La Liga table. So I guess, who is going to be that third club to go down? I know who I want to go down.
I mean, then how else will you get the phlegm out of your throat every other week?
Oh, no. I want them to stay up. It's Valencia I want to go.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So,
I agree.
I concur
with that.
Get the fuck out. Get out. What? Monkey chants, bro?
Yeah.
No. Get out.
Yeah.
And they're saying, and they're trying to, and then this, for the Spanish Federation to try and turn around and say that it was just a few bad apples, as if we don't know the full statement of that, where that phrase comes from. A few bad apples spoils the bunch. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't just a few. You could hear it through the television how bad it was. Never mind the footage of people all the way up in the fucking bleeders of the Mestalla. You know what I'm saying? Get out. And don't you ever come back. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to see none of that shit ever again. You know what I'm saying? I wish they made it a rule that any club that has that kind of display would automatically be given a 20-point deduction.
Well, that display is racism, and they're, because this is the league, it's not gonna, this is the problem, right? Like, that is the fundamental problem with all the measures. It's like, oh, the referee, and now they tells them to announce something in the stadium, and then there's a second strike, and then a third strike before you actually stop the game. It's insane, these steps. We when the steps were introduced a couple years ago, we said, okay, a step in the right direction, but you gotta move forward. They have not even executed the barest minimum. The things that are in the books to do across Europe are not being done. So, like, we cannot expect that there would be anything even remotely close to adequate punishment for racist behavior during a match. So yeah, right now the ball is in Real Betis's court to at least defeat Valencia in their final match. Betis is certainly capable of that. So we got to watch for these other ridiculous teams to do their part to get Valencia relegated
out of here, and also to get some of their players. Again, I am someone that's always looking at players. Valencia has a lot of players that I enjoy, or I shouldn't say I enjoy. I think are quality and don't deserve to go to the second division of La Liga. So
Yunus Musa and Diakabi,
right?
Justin Kluivert.
Yunus Musa, Yunus Musa, top of my list. Justin Kluivert, second.
Elish.
But Yunus Musa, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, Yunus Musa, that's a bad boy player. You know what I'm saying? I really, really like him. And I honestly feel like the U.S. men's national team don't utilize him enough. I don't think they utilize him enough. They don't play him in the correct positions. He is a baller.
Great in the World Cup, right? Like, I feel like the midfield three of the United States in the World Cup did their thing. These three brothers did their job. I feel like people who didn't know who Yunus Musa was, they learned over that month last year. I feel like, to me, his global profile was raised because of all the casual watchers seeing what they did. Like him, Adams, and McKinney. They were awesome.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a bit similar of a situation. I don't know how you two feel, but I feel like the way that Yunus Musa is played in the United States men's national team is kind of similar to the way that Crystal Dunn is misused in the U.S. women's national team. You know, they'll play her in defense, but we all know where she should be playing, yeah. Right? And then where Yunus Musa is concerned, great, you've got a central, you know, midfield three, but the boy's a winger, okay? That is where he is most lethal. When he gets up and down that touchline, it's problems for you. You know what I mean? Like, he is an absolute terror to fullbacks. And not in just any league, La Liga, bruv. You know what I'm saying? Like, they want you, the defenders stand off because they want you to try and beat them for positioning, and Yunus Musa makes it look easy. So, like, I'm just wondering what more the boy's got to do to get respect put on his name in the national team setup. Because, yes, he can play. He's a capable central midfielder. But where you want the threat on the wing, that's where you should be playing him. You should be playing on the right-hand side. But it's not my national team, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, the nepotist setup at U.S. Soccer Federation
the, that's the sign you get.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's Greg Berhalter, that man is the definition of no tactics, just vibes. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that is probably the reason why not just Yunus, but a whole bunch of other players are not being used correctly. But yes, on the topic of the La Liga relegation battle, I will be heavily rooting for Valencia to go the fuck down to the Segunda, because that is where they deserve to be. Fuck them.
El Capitan, any thoughts about this battle?
Oh, I mean, like I said, I want Valencia to go down because A, they're racist fans, and B, several players that I want to be playing elsewhere. Top of that list is Yunus Musa.
Yeah, fair enough. And let's talk about the three teams getting promoted to the to La Liga from the Segunda. Granada was top of the league, Las Palmas and Levante. Levante makes their return. And, you know, it was kind of a tight run thing. 75 points, 72-72. So, you know.
Three points between all three of them sides. Goal difference was pretty tight as well. I think it was a 5 goal difference between Las Palmas and Granada. And it was 4 between Las Palmas and Levante.
Yeah.
Shout out to Levante, though. I remember when Diego Buonanotte left River Plate, and I think Levante was the Spanish side that he played for. So that is how I know them.
Well, shout out to Little Nuggets. Let's talk about the Uber Eats League One, who's going to deliver you some more Little Nuggets. PSG won the league. Boo, hiss, boo. They also got thrown out of the Champions League. Were atrocious. Another club like Bayern that needs to step it up. I'm sorry, you don't get any plaudits for winning the league with your massive advantages. So let's talk about promotion and relegation. The relegated teams. Angers, Troyes, Ajaccio. Don't really care about any of these teams. Goodbye, farewell. Liga is weird in that they relegate 4 and they promote 4.
Yes, they do.
And so the three relegated I just mentioned, and the two candidates for dropping out are Nantes and Auxerre, and they, with a match to go, we have one more match, and it's looking kind of peak for Nantes, to be honest, because it shouldn't be the case because they have some really good players. I'm not sure what's gone wrong with them this season. But
because they were literally we've been talking about them every week in Europe.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, we didn't think that, but they've been balling out, but they were balling out in Europe. So it's like they were one of the surprises and one of the dark horses in playing in Europe. And I
thought they were going to be mid-table, right? Like that was kind of my expectation. And then to see them in this battle, you know, and they got to play Angers, who's relegated, so they'll probably win. This final day, Saturday, is going to be kind of rough for them. Both Nantes and Auxerre are playing relatively strong opposition, and so. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really disappointed. I'm really disappointed in Nantes because, you know, they got some players. And of course, my Nigerian bias, like, you know, Moses Simon played fantastically well an AFCON on the wing for us. A compliment to Samuel Chukwueze. And I'm just disappointed. Like, hasn't had a really great season, but I'm hoping, you know, hoping he stays up somehow, right? I know he's got a few goals, like, you know, I don't know, at least 4 or 5 goals this season. Anyway, Nantes Auxerre in the battle. You guys have any kind of preferences to see who makes it?
I want to see Nantes survive. Well, if they don't survive, I want to see that. I'd take Sissoko at Manchester United. I mean, I hate to be greedy about that, but
Moussa Sissoko. Wow, I did not see that coming.
I kind of did because it's cap. But at the end of the day, I think. But at the end of the yeah, at the end of the day, he's a bad boy midfielder. Do Manchester United need more midfielders? No, but you know,
the man is 33 years old, bro.
I mean, the last 33-year-old that they signed turned out to be the most important in signing that they had for a couple seasons in Nemanja Matic.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, okay.
This is not out of the ordinary for Manchester United.
You remember the guy? Like, he was Tottenham, Watford. Like, I'm sorry, bro. Like, he's not coming to my club.
I don't know what he would bring to a Man United setup. To be fairly honest, you at his big age. But you know what?
Hey. Casemiro's balling out.
Casemiro's balling out, but he's getting on. And I also feel as long as they stop sticking.
Getting cards, getting suspended. I mean, so they probably need backup. That's fair. That's actually a fair.
They absolutely need that depth.
Listen.
Because who else are they going to play? Scott McTominay?
Exactly. Listen, I was just about to say, I'd rather have Sissoko than Scott McTominay. I'm just saying.
You know what?
And I'm tired of these men playing Fred in that position as well. God damn it. Like, it just like, yeah. As a matter of fact, I actually support this move. Go get your boy. Go get Sissoko so you can sort the fuck. So you can sort this shit out. Because I'm tired of seeing Fred and McTominay in the middle of that park. I'm so sick of seeing that. I mean, it's no skin off my nose because I'm an Arsenal supporter, but I'm so sick of seeing Fred played out of position when he should be right behind the striker. That's his best position. You know what I'm saying? That's how he made his name at Shakhtar Donetsk. Anyway, we're not talking about Man United. Talking about Liga, okay? I think that... PSG, there's only really, when it comes to Ligue 1 in particular, there's only really one phrase that springs to mind. And that is from a legendary film that all Black Americans know and love. Ain't nobody come to see you, Otis. Absolutely nobody came to see you, son. No one. I don't care how much money you have, because you're not going to be able to spend that money next season because you've got to cut the wage bill dramatically, okay? Neymar, gone. Messi, probably gone. Who else is going? Probably at least a third of the side and all their top earners, at least most of them. Is Donnarumma staying? Probably not. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be a fire sale at PSG, I think, this summer. The only person that they can pretty much afford to hang on to is Kylian Mbappe because they refuse to let him go. They're talking about building a French side with French players to surround Kylian Mbappe with. That sounds like nationalist nonsense to me. But at the end of the day, whatever you got to do to make my boy Killian, King Killian, whatever you got to do to put respect on his name, get it done. You know what I'm saying? Paul Pogba is not staying at Juventus another season. Make sure you look him up. You know, I just feel like... But then again, he's got to get fit because he got injured again. And I really, really...
Quote-unquote injured.
Look, whatever...
That man is going back to Mecca, and he's going to be doing Instagram videos walking fine. That man literally gets quote-unquote injured, and then there's a Muslim holiday a week later, and then all of a sudden you see him walking around and nothing's going on. So, I don't want to hear it from this. I don't want to hear it. I'm tired.
Bill got the chopper out for everybody, boy.
Yeah, hey, it's singing like a gospel choir out here, bro.
We left Italy. What? We left Italy. I was, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to just, you know, since we're in France, I wanted to give plaudits to Alexandre Lacazette. You know, 27 goals. 27 Golden goals. Winner, yeah? Nah, I think Kylian Mbappe got it. But but this is Lacazette at his big age of 32, 27 goals. It's like he never left. It's like he never left Lyon. Like, this man has been incredible this season. I don't think he got more than 10 goals any season with Arsenal. And I mean, he put in the work, you know, put in the shift, blah, blah, blah. He did his part for sure, but he never came close to this kind of productivity on the score sheet. And it's been really remarkable. And there have been all kinds of goals, left foot, right foot, headers, penalties, you know, mostly in the box. But he'll score a banger from outside every so often. Like, I just think... he's been great this season. Went back to captain his old side. And he's just been completely lights out. Salute to him. Anyway, that's a host privilege I'm going to take for today. Any other stories? We didn't talk about the teams vying to get promoted. You might know.
But before
okay,
we...
go ahead.
Before we do, we do need to mention this. I don't know what is going on in the French Football Federation, but when I clocked that Ligue 2 championship trophy, what in the comic book thought bubble hell am I looking at here? What is this chopping board with cheese wheels on it, daring to call itself a championship trophy? Like, I know the French take their food seriously, but this is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? This is one of the fugliest, not even ugly, fugly titles I've ever seen in my entire life. You have these men out here busting their ass, and this is what you give them at the end of the season? Oh, no. Nope, absolutely not. Take that back to the drawing board. Sue the designer for fraud because they fleeced you, you know what I'm saying? And get you a proper championship trophy, because this charcuterie board that I'm looking at is absolutely not it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not it at all. It's coming like a smorgasbord out of Holland. What is this? Yeah. Like, I don't get it.
Everybody.
Like, terrible.
When you listen to this, go Google League 2 Championship Trophy. LIGUE League. Anyway, it is... Joseph's not wrong. It is atrocious. It is really bad. I don't know if... Well, Neil said that, you know, if you want to see a bad trophy, look at the WNBA trophy. This might be worse. But I don't know. They're probably equally, it's just atrocious. Very bad idea. I was clowning the League One Uber Eats or whatever. I don't even know what you would call League Two.
I don't think they have a sponsor. Bruv. So you can't call them League.
They're, you know, cheese board. You know, whatever it's your your grocery store chain is.
It's a charcuterie board.
Like, let's roll with that. So, talking about League Two, let's talk about who's in the running for promotion right now. Let's say just top five, the top three are really tight. It's Haven AC with 72 points, FC Metz with 69 points, Bordeaux, remember them, just got relegated, also on 69 points, three goals behind on goal difference. And then in the distant fourth is SC Bastia, but they're only one point ahead of Kane. And that means, you know, again, you go four up, four down. So, you know, there's actually plenty to play for in those lower spots. The thing about the French leagues is there's always talent, right? It's colonialism. The legacy of colonialism means that there are tons of Africans playing in these leagues. Most of those dudes are ballers. Because the league isn't super moneyed like other places, the asking prices are not insane. So you will always find great ball. Look at all the fantastic signings that have come out of Liga. So my expectation is that this summer you'll see more of those kinds of signings coming out of nowhere and doing the business for big clubs once the calendar turns over. So anyway, that's my big take on these French leagues. Watch for the value signings that have come out of these leagues. And we'll see who gets promoted into those four spots.
Nothing for me. I definitely agree. I think there's going to be, marquee signings. There always are marquee signings. We saw several from Liga to Real Madrid specifically, this past summer. So I think we'll see that again in several leagues this year. I think there are several quality players across in several leagues. I don't think we're going to see a situation where Lacazette goes to, comes back to the
No. He's settled.
But we could see a situation. The young man who who's on loan from Arsenal,
Folarin Balogun,
who's a striker.
Folarin Balogun, we got on 20 goals.
Yes, who said he doesn't want to go back to Arsenal because he wants first team football again. So he could, stay in France, but I could see him playing at, he has the quality to play elsewhere. That the kid that had the from Montpellier that had the goal of that had the bicycle kick in that what was it, the 4-3 Lyon, it was a 4-3 Lyon win, but he had the first half hat trick.
Yeah.
And he also had the goal. And he had the goal of the goal of the season. So I think he is another quality he certainly doesn't have the goal, significance that a Jonathan David or Alexander Lacazette or Balogun or obviously Mbappe had this season, but he certainly has quality, right?
Oh yeah.
He could be, I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the short list for like a Newcastle who have the money to spend. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the short list for some of these other clubs that are in need of a number nine that could bring quality, that could bring youth, that are looking to build from that are trying to build a young side rather than building like this. I could see him at I could see him playing in Germany. I could see him playing in the Prem. So there are a lot of quality players in the attacking position. There are not a whole lot of defenders that are great coming out of a Liga this season, but there are a lot of quality attacking players that are going to be making moves this summer from Liga. So I'm excited to see where they go.
Yeah, Eli Wahi is the guy you're talking about.
Eli Wahi,
Montpellier player. If you haven't seen those like that, it's pretty incredible. Great performance on that day. Great match as well. So I'll say let's wrap. Let that wrap Liga, the French leagues for us. And we'll talk about the UEFA Europa League real quick. There was it's done and dusted. We had you might as well rename the Europa League, or name the trophy at least after Sevilla. Sevilla faced off against Roma. What do you do when you park the bus in a championship game? You hope for a little moment that allows you to do what you got to do. did not work out for the special one, or as Joseph has renamed him, the ungrateful one.
Well, the washed one is what I was calling it. I told him he's washed as his hairline, and yet again, here I sit, completely vindicated. I told you, man, he is washed. The Europa Conference League was the last one, you know. I hope you, man, are prepared for that. Ain't nothing left in the tank, you know what I'm saying? Although, I will say this on wax. Him shitting on Spurs at that press conference was spectacular. That was hilarious. Oh my god, I died laughing at that. Out of nowhere, man just lets the chopper sing all over Tottenham. You know what I'm saying?
Why?
I'm just
what? Like, what are you talking about? That, this dude is crazy.
The man pulled out the Mac 10 for no reason, cut, and just said, Tottenham, Daniel Levy, and just let the ting go, scrap, you know what I'm saying? Just let it off. And I just, oh, that was brilliant. That was really, really funny. But what was even funnier was seeing Roma lose on penalties to Sevilla.
Right.
But I don't want to make it all about Mourinho bottling it in yet another final. At least now we don't have to worry about people talking about, oh, if Mourinho was allowed to manage in the Champions League final, we would have won it. No, the fuck you wouldn't have, because City would have still smacked your ass. Or what was it? Sorry, Liverpool would have still smacked your ass anyway. So it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter, especially that Liverpool side that Klopp had. Mm-hmm. What I think is really the story of the Europa League, it can be summarized in two words. Jesus Navas. That man is a legend. He played in that final, and the first time he played in Europa League final was on the same day 17 years ago.
Wow.
Bruv. That man's a bona fide, at least a Europa League legend. He's definitely, definitely a Spanish football legend. I think the fact that he's still rinsing people on the wing at his big, big age, you know what I'm saying? Like, unbelievable. That was a real joy to watch. But that was a good match, all things considered. It was very dramatic. But in the end, Sevilla, this is their competition. They just don't lose the Europa League, bruv. They just don't. Like, they know how to win this competition. They are titans in this competition. So congratulations to them. And good luck to them in the Champions League next season.
I'll just say that, you know, I'll agree that it's, you know, Sevilla played incredibly well. All things considered, I think they, but I mean, this is the same side that couldn't roll over Jose Mourinho in two halves and extra time, and then had to get a pen during the penalty kicks. One of them had to go to VAR that they overtook, which when they did overtake it, that made the, it was converted, and then Sevilla won. So it's just like, yes, congrats to Sevilla, but like also Anthony Taylor is a punk. So
now on that topic, Cap, if we needed another reminder as to why English referees cannot be trusted at international competition level, we have seen it yet again. Anthony Taylor, that was a stonewall penalty for Roma. How you don't call that is beyond me. But how VAR didn't overturn that, which was a clear and obvious error on Anthony Taylor's part, you know what I mean? How VAR doesn't overturn that, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's baffling. But do I think that Anthony Taylor should have been hounded at the airport by Roma fans? No, I do not. I think that was absolutely disgusting, actually. That was a step beyond. It gave me shades of the 1994 World Cup, where that Colombian referee, when he eventually got back to the to his home country, he got assassinated after that error that he made.
And, it was a player.
Oh, it was a player. Excuse me. Yes.
scored an own goal. Yeah,
he did, and it knocked Colombia out when they were favored to go deep in that particular World Cup. But yes, you're absolutely right. But still, that is the kind of the, when I see fans singling out players or single member of staff, whether it be management or one of the coaches or the physios, or whenever I see them surrounding a player, I get really, really anxious, because we've seen what happens when football supporters get on their mob shit. You know what I mean? And I really don't like that. I mean, those watching that footage this morning, that was beyond unsafe. I get it. You feel hard done by, but you don't do that. You know what I mean? You just don't do that. Well,
we've commented on a referee in Brazil pulling out the strap on the field, because like these people take it too far. It's been wild. There've been all kinds of ridiculous scenes. Or in Mexico, where the referee knees a player in the balls.
You know, honestly, this is the reason why they gotta cut out this whole crowding the ref business, like,
you're
when
gonna
they
go
call
too far.
Is made.
You're gonna take it too far, and a man's gonna do you. All right there on the field, because like I've had enough. That's one of the things. Like, the ref has all this power on the field, right? And that's something we lash out at. It's like, ultimately, they're cops. You know, they are the cops on the field, spoiling everyone's joy. But they're there for a reason. And without officials, you know, how do we police the game, quote unquote? How do we manage all these decisions, right? And then then it becomes this whole thing. It devolves into a certain amount of chaos. So you must, you know, cede some authority so that you have decision making centralized. And so I think VAR has sort of decentralized the decision making, and we're in the ugly growth stage of this evolution. And I don't know if football has the wherewithal to actually fix that system. I think, you know, it's impossible to be 100% correct all the time, to make all the correct calls, and I think that's part of the game. What I cannot accept is all the rationalization of the mistakes after the fact, the lack of accountability, blah blah blah. So I feel you make a bad call, it should be acknowledged, and an accountability be taken, whatever form that looks like. We've seen in England where VARs have been dismissed or banished from participating in other matches. I think that's a step forward, but we need more. Doesn't give Arsenal points back. Doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. But I feel like there's more to come. There should be more to come. And if only, you know. So while we're saying, you know, it's not okay for all this, you know, for players and fans to go over the line in their remonstrations to the match officials, we must also, like, that speaks to the lack of accountability. Those overreactions speak to the lack of accountability that it's existed for referees and match officials through time. So it's not just that moment or that call. It's all this pent-up negative energy that all football fans carry towards referees.
Well said, Armour. I mean, I don't have anything to add to that, to be fair, to be honest with you.
Neither do I. I feel like the mic was dropped.
Yeah, the mic was definitely dropped. Yeah, we're definitely putting the Funk Flex boom at the end of that. That's definitely what
we're doing. And if that's done, then let's go ahead and take a break. And then come back for extra time after we pay a couple bills. All right, we are back, and you know what time it is. It's time for extra time where our beloved crew gets to wax a little poetic about the things that have been on their mind, footballer or not, related to the beautiful game. And so this week, let's start with Joseph. What's been on your mind, sir?
Well, it's the end of the Casa Soccer League here in Philadelphia. The club that I play for, Sporting Serotonin, we have assured our place in the promotion playoff final for the second season running. But we have one more match in the league to get on with, and that is on Saturday. The last time we played this club, I believe it was Grupo FC, we smacked them 3-1. And it was a very dominant performance. Honestly, we could have won by a lot more. Like, we absolutely peppered them. I don't think they even had a shot on net. So we're definitely chomping at the bit to go ahead and start as we mean to go on. Our promotion playoff semifinal is on the 10th, I think, which doesn't clash with the Champions League, thank God, because I do want to watch Inter beat Manchester City. But and I will be wearing my Inter shirt that day, Cap. Don't you worry about that. But I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't shout out the brass at the club. Firstly, our captain and our founder, Paul Cotrino Jr. You are amazing. You are brilliant. I've waxed lyrical about you, both to your face and to anybody who asks me about you. And I would do that here on the podcast as well. You are amazing. You are the absolute definition of a leader. And I could not be more honored and be more pleased to be playing alongside you and seeing you lead the line and wearing the armband. Shout out to Jack Brumel. Shout out to Zachary Richmond, who, for my money, has scored the goal of the season. I put that somewhere in the Discord for all of our listeners and the rest of the hosts to go ahead and see. Absolute pearler of a goal. And yeah, like, there's so many names to mention, but those three in particular, you boys have been absolutely fantastic. And again, thank you for giving me an opportunity to play for Sporting Serotonin. It's a club that I'm absolutely dead proud to be suiting up for week in and week out.
All right. Thank you very much, Joseph. How about you, Cap? What is on your mind?
Well, it has been a trying couple of weeks for me personally. Not necessarily professionally, but certainly personally. I wish I could have more than 60 seconds to, and I may do a captain's log about it. But it's just not been, it's been a healthy, but not a, it's been a grief stricken couple of weeks. And I'm trying not to show too much emotion because, I've kind of spent that emotion for the past couple of days. And I know I've talked a lot in my set pieces, or not my set pieces, but my extra times about taking care of your friends and being mindful of what they're going through. And I still hold that to be true. But also, I'll just add that I think it's important to just keep your friends close and keep tabs on them on a consistent basis, and don't just keep your connections always. Don't check in even when you don't think it's necessary to check in, is what I'll say.
Thanks, Cap, and commiserations. So I'll say my extra time is be again about gratitude. Probably I don't even remember what I said last time, but hopefully it's along the same vein. I've been having this just wonderful like good. I've been busy the last several weeks, but like the good busy where on the professional side, it's, you know, it's picking up more responsibility, blah, blah, blah. But personally, man, so rewarding. I've spent so much time with loved ones celebrating achievements and accomplishments of my kids. They've made me so extremely proud. Like, I'm proud of my kids. I'm a proud parent, and I'll brag on them any day of the week. But this whole season, man, I feel like this past year, this last 6 months, last month, last couple weeks, even today, I'll watch my kids, you know, be acknowledged by their peers, their teachers, their people they're around, not just their academic prowess, but their character, their kindness, and determination. All the things that you hope young people learn and bring to bear on their challenges in the world. And I'm just like grateful, because the Lord knows we are imperfect parents. We try, but my kids have just made me so proud over the past several weeks, and I just want to use this time to acknowledge each of them and say how proud I am to be their parent. That's it for us. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Banter Pub FC. As you heard, we are the sauciest team in the game. You definitely heard some of the spiciest takes on the pitch, especially when Neil gets to talking about Schalke or Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the Banter Pub FC. Follow and subscribe on all the streamers. And if you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, follow, review us on your favorite platforms. For Neil, for Joseph, I'm Ama, and we'll see you next time at the pub.